You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
So, hey, we've been making this podcast for over 2.5 years.
What?
Yep, thanks to listeners like you. And from the gate, people have asked us for merchandise or additional content or even some hang time with me and Scott.
That's weird.
It is. But we think we have a solution for you.
Yep, we are excited to announce that we have a new Patreon page.
Yeah, and you know how people are patrons of the arts? Well, in this case, we're the arts.
Hmm. And by becoming a Patreon, you'll get bonus content, access to outtakes that the general public will never see, extremely cool merch, and depending on what tier you get on, a monthly hang time with Laura and I.
Yep, and it all starts at just $5 a month.
That's nothing.
Right? Not per day, not per week. It's only $5 per month.
And you're guaranteed merchandise.
Yeah, oh, that's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So click the link in the show notes to read about the different tiers and see what great stuff you can get. Become a podcast patron. Join our Patreon today at www.patreon.com/theonlyoneintheroom.
Hi, I'm Benny Pugh. I'm the only one in the room whose near-death accident gave him a second lease on life. In that moment of the accident, that's when God put a book inside of me. And I got mad with God, and I'm glad he didn't get mad with me, right? I thought about who's gonna be able to take care of my family at this point. It's not really what happened and how we got there. It was that the lesson was for me. I realized in an instant I almost lost my life. So who I give my time to, how I give my time, who I choose to have my time is going to be really important to me. And realizing if I have things in order, then you know it's going to be the best life that I can get.
Imagine going to a friend's barbecue with your wife and your daughter. And then your friend asks you to take a spin with him in his new Mercedes-Benz. Benny Pugh, music executive, entrepreneur, author, real estate proprietor, and founder of Dverse Media, flew home earlier on that fateful day just so he could accept his friend's invitation and show up as he promised. But what would you do if after getting into the car, you were in an accident that would change your life forever? Would you resent your friend for walking away without a scratch? Or would you see it as an opportunity to change your life on impact? Hi, I'm Laura Cathcart Robbins, and this is The Only One in the Room. This podcast is for anyone who has ever felt alone in a room full of people, which is to say that this podcast is for everyone. Benny Pugh, hi.
Hello.
We got it together. Got you to Cali on the only rainy day.
That says a lot.
Yes.
It definitely says a lot.
It says a lot.
But where else would I want to be?
Where else would
in
you
the
want
rain.
To be, right? And you definitely enjoy driving here with all our LA drivers, right?
Well, listen, I lived here for 7 years, mm-hmm. so I have a understanding on how bad driving is.
So, wait, how bad driving is or drivers?
Yeah, both.
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 There's a little shade to LA drivers, but we'll take it because we are not known for being able to drive in the rain.
And everyone's comfortable.
Yes.
Knowing that.
No. Yeah. Yeah. It's totally fine. I was going to start us off with two truths and a lie. That's my usual icebreaker game. So I'm going to ask you for your two truths and a lie.
Two truths and a lie. I think you need to stop that segment.
Okay.
Right? But anyway, no, I don't want to dictate, you know, what you
tell
guys
me,
doing
tell me.
Here,
yeah,
right?
No, go ahead.
So my first truth is I'm truly in love with the fact of being alive.
Mm.
And my second is I love my family more than I love myself.
Wow.
And I thought about the lie, because I don't lie, then I have to, no one would ever believe that.
Right.
I've never told a lie.
Yes.
So my lie would be, so I used to have on my driver's license, I'm 6'3". I'm really 6'2".
You just gave yourself an extra edge.
Yeah, why not? Nobody checks. When you think about you in the DMV.
It's true. No one comes with like a yardstick and no.
You can be whoever you want to be.
Right, whatever weight you want to be.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, eye color. Anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's
right.
My lie.
Okay, I like it. I like it. Thank you. I'm Laura Cathcart Robbins. This is the only one in the room, but I'm never the only one in this room because, as usual, my boyfriend, producer, and co-host, Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, is here as well.
Hey, honey.
Hey, honey. So today we are talking to Benny Pugh. Mm. He is the founder of D-Verse Media. He is a music executive, entrepreneur, author, real estate proprietor, and manager. Decades of dedication and determination propelled him into the forefront of the music industry and made him one of today's most successful and innovative business leaders. With nearly 30 years of experience, Pugh has helped shape the sound and culture of music worldwide, having been instrumental in delivering radio hits for superstars such as Jay-Z, Rihanna, Kanye West, Travis Scott, Future, DJ Khaled, 21 Savage. Should I go on, hun?
Go for it, girl.
I mean, it's,
do we need to say more?
I don't know. I think that's it. Like, that's enough right there. And there is more, but we're going to get into all that during the interview. Like I told you before we sat down, fascinating resume you have. What you've done for the last 30 years is incredible. The first question I ask people before we start is how they identify. How do you identify, Benny?
So that's a broad question.
I know.
So I identify as a Christian.
Yes.
So that would probably be my first recognition. Then a father, husband, friend, leader, you know. So those are my bundle of things at how I see myself.
That is great.
Yeah.
That's great. I love it. I have a quote of yours. Do you mind if I read it?
Come on.
Okay. The quote is, I've been in a lot of circumstances where I was the only African-American, having to realize that all it takes is to be the only one. I'm sure there are a lot of people who have gone through only one syndrome, which could not make you a better guest for our show, The Only One in the Room. Mm-hmm. You just articulated it so beautifully there. And the article's longer, but I just took that little piece of it. So having worked multiple jobs since you were 11 years old, right? Sold cutlery, door-to-door, drove limos when you were older. I'm assuming you were older. You weren't 11 when you were driving limos.
You know what? I lied on my license, so
right. But, there's another lie. That's right. But you always wanted to be an entrepreneur, right? And on Sunday, you and I talked about like where you are. It's kind of like the Alps, that rare air, right? And you've been an EVP at Epic, senior VP at Def Jam. All right, so now I'm going to take us to 2014.
Let's go.
All right. 2 decades in the music industry at that point, right? Your accident, I'm going to hear the story about now, caused you to reprioritize your life. And I want to hear about how you reprioritized your life afterward. But first, tell us about the accident. Tell us what happened.
August 31st, 2014, I was in a near-death car accident. How this actually happened was crazy. One day, a friend of mine called me and asked me if I wanted to come to his barbecue. And maybe at that point, I should have either gave a soft maybe or a hard no, but I said yes. And anyone who knows me, especially you now, traveling in the rain with your drivers.
Yes
is yes, right? Because I thought about no, but I already said yes coming here, right?
You made a commitment.
you commit.
Yes.
And as we grew up, that was more important than anything else because you had options not to say yes. Mm-hmm. So yes means yes.
Yeah.
So when he called me, well, I confirmed that we would be there. And he called me another day and asked me if we were still coming. I'd said yes. That weekend, I traveled Saturday to South Carolina to visit my sister and my nephews and attend a football game. Mm-hmm.
So you were traveling from where the barbecue was from? You were in the New York area?
Oh, no. So the barbecue was on Sunday.
Okay, okay.
The confirmation happened on Tuesday.
Ah, okay.
Yeah,
okay. So you traveled to South Carolina.
Yes.
Yeah.
I traveled to South Carolina on Saturday. Saw my sister, my nephews.
Mm-hmm.
We celebrated my father's 70th birthday party. My mother has Alzheimer's, had spent some time with her. Left that Sunday, and there was a misty rain that day.
Mm.
The flight was late, about an hour and a half. My friend had called me, asked me if we were still coming. I said yes. Now I'm running late. I had a meeting in New York City. Flew into the city an hour and a half late. Still had to take the meeting. Called my wife. Told her we're going to be an hour and a half late. Didn't want to take the convertible that day because something just didn't feel right with this misty rain.
Right.
So premonition, now knowing, right? So decided to take the truck, get home. My friend calls, asked if we were still coming. I said, yes, we're almost there. Got there. And the reason why he was very persistent on the invitation was because he had catered the food for the two families. So we thought we were going to a barbecue and he did something very special and sweet for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we had no idea. So four adults, couple bottle of wine, we're sitting having dialogue, enjoying ourselves. He and I, we step out and have a conversation. That misty rain happens again.
Mm.
We decide it's a dark moment. Let's just take a ride. He bought a new Mercedes Benz. Had it for 3 days. We jump in the car. He pulls out, jumps out, go gets a cigar. The ladies and the kids, they come to the carport. He gets in the car, puts on a seatbelt. We drive down the driveway, which is the length of a city block.
Mm-hmm.
It's rural New Jersey.
Okay.
He opens up the gate once we get there to the end. He makes a right. So I grab my phone because I hadn't made any calls. We'd all been sitting here about to make a call. And I hear a thud.
Mm.
And the car just shoots off. So in my mind, I cut my eyes. I'm thinking, what's going on? The odometer's at 75 miles an hour. So now I turn my head all fully, and he's unconscious.
Oh.
With his foot on the accelerator.
He passed out.
He's out.
Wow.
So from where we started to the impact of the trees a half a mile, with the car being driven with no one behind the wheel.
Right.
So I've done the first thing, which we kind of led into the question you asked me about myself being a Christian and my faith.
Yeah.
First thing I did is what I was always been taught by my mom is speak to God.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, Lord, I guess I'm not going to see my family anymore because I walked you through everybody in my immediate family I had seen prior to this moment.
Right.
And my wife and my daughter, they're standing in the yard.
Mm.
Second thing is, Lord, I guess I'm going to see you soon because you get to the point you understand your mortality. Been around, seen a lot. Just watch movies. This isn't going to end well,
right?
Because I'm in this car and it's now approaching 90 miles an hour and there's no driver. The third thing, I actually got mad with God.
Mm.
And I got mad with God and I'm glad he didn't get mad with me, right? Is that I thought about who's going to pour knowledge into my son, who are going to marry my girls, who's going to be able to take care of my family at this point, who's going to deal with my mother because I deal with her health care, who's going to be there to help my wife clean this mess up, right? Mm. Because obviously I didn't plan to die today. So, things aren't everywhere where you want them to be.
Right.
And God, I guess if I'd known I was going to die, I wouldn't have shown up for the barbecue, right? Regardless of the commitment. So the car veers off and I see this oak and we're barreling now and we hit the tree. So in that moment of the accident, that's when God put a book inside of me called On Impact, which is literally and figuratively, my life hitting the tree.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I sustained a level 2 concussion, L3, L4 vertebrae fracture, bulging disc in my back, lost half the blood in my body. Lacerated liver, and we hit the tree so hard that it severed my intestines. So
the
seatbelt force.
The seatbelt.
Because think about it, the seatbelt is actually holding you back, but the force is moving you forward.
Right.
So you're now in a position of, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's like being that impactful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember it?
I remember the moment of impact on the tree with the burst of light, right? And that was it.
Yeah.
That was it at that moment.
We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered. And we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
So when you're talking about having this conversation with God as you're flying off course, completely out of control, did it feel slow motion to you?
Oh, it's actually,
yeah.
You know, death is in slow motion.
Okay.
If you're in those circumstances,
well,
where you're
hear.
Watching death.
Yeah. You know,
when you're watching death happen,
yeah.
It is in slow motion.
So it
absolutely.
Felt like you had all this time, even though things were
these
whizzing
are seconds,
by.
Correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. And so there's this burst of light and you wake up where? You come to where? Are you in the hospital?
No, I'm in the car.
Oh, you're still in the car when you come to?
I'm still in the car.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, so the next thing I hear is the crunching of the door coming off, but I'm in and out.
Yeah.
So
you're bleeding, right?
Internally.
Internally, okay.
So there's pain.
Yeah.
Massive, massive pain
yeah.
that's happening now. And I don't know where it's coming from or why it's happening.
And what about the driver?
He's okay.
He's okay.
He was okay then, yeah.
Okay. Do you know why he passed out?
Fell asleep.
Just fell asleep that quickly.
Fell asleep, yeah.
Well, you said there had been a couple bottles of wine.
Yeah.
And so maybe, and he'd been up all day kind of waiting for you guys, right? So that's just, I mean, that's odd to fall asleep that quickly in a car.
But ideally though, it's not really what happened and how we got there.
Mm-hmm.
It was that the lesson was for me.
Right.
So he was only the driver to change my life.
Literally.
Literally.
Yeah.
Because he walked out unscathed. So it doesn't matter how we got there in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
The moment was for me. It wasn't for him. Because we were two people, two passengers in the car at the same time, at the same speed, hitting the same tree.
Well, that is a really evolved way to look at it. I don't know that everybody would see it that way, But I understand, given how you've described your faith and what those moments mm-hmm. were like for you, and knowing what I do know about what happened with you afterward. Mm-hmm. So how quickly were you brought to the hospital after that? Was there a while before the ambulance came?
So it was, I don't want to give away too much in the book because I want people
right,
to read
right,
it.
Right.
But I will say this. So I came to for a second, and it's interesting that the things that happen, and I think competency and reading situations and circumstances. So I just told you I had a tree at 90 miles an hour, and the first responders, they're asking me, how do you want to go to the hospital? Because of that misty rain, we could give you, put you in a helicopter, but it's going to be a lot of it's going to be choppy, and it might hurt. Mm. Or we can put you in the ambulance that's here. So what do you want to do?
They're asking you?
Absolutely.
That's weird. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
So yeah. What did you choose?
I went with the ambulance.
Okay. Yeah, a little bit longer ride, but hopefully not as...
And the helicopter wasn't there.
Oh, so you had to wait.
Would have to wait 20 minutes.
Yeah,
correct.
No.
And at that point, after answering the question, mm-hmm. the only thing I remember then is coming out of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sure your wife was so relieved mm-hmm. once you were diagnosed and that you were going to get better. You were going to recover from mm-hmm. these injuries in your family. Your whole mm-hmm. family must have been. And to see someone else walk out of that car and see you not be able to, right?
Right.
Must have been so scary for them. So tell me, pre-accident, what were your priorities? Give me 1, 2, and 3.
God, family, business.
God, family, business.
God, family, business. But I think it was probably more blended.
So not quite as separated.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Hard.
Right, right, right.
More blended. Some days mm-hmm. probably could be more business than God.
Yeah.
Some days could be more family than business, mm-hmm. you know, but it was...
A little bit of a shuffle.
Yeah, shuffling.
Yeah.
Now it's hard.
Yeah.
God, family, business.
So why, after that accident, did it change for you that you placed God first, family second, and business third?
I had to be very clear and specific, realizing the value of time.
Okay.
You know, realize in an instant, I almost lost my life.
Right.
So who I give my time to, how I give my time, who I choose to have my time is going to be really important to me.
Mm.
And realizing if I have things in order, then you know it's going to be the best life that I can get. Realizing the next time my life gets to the point where, you know, it may not be anymore because we're all going to expire at some point.
Sure.
And ideally when I get there, I want to make sure that I've done all that I can do mm-hmm. to be the best me, most importantly, but I've given in order of priority the things that are most important to me.
Right, right. And so did your actions change?
Absolutely.
So tell me how they changed.
So I'm definitely someone who's grew up in the church, mm-hmm. spent a lot of time in the church, but straight away at some point brought me all the way back in my readings, mm-hmm. You know, sermon watching now. Like I was a person, I used to hate televangelists. I find myself really enjoying it now, you know, between T.D. Jakes and mm-hmm. and Joel Osteen and others. But it's a great way to receive the gospel. My family,
especially during the pandemic.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
My family realizing like, you know what? I don't need to take every trip. You know, I don't need to be away as much. I don't need to not focus on things that are good today but may not matter tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And that my time here as a steward for my family and my children is what's most important, that they get the best out of me.
Yeah.
And while I still have the best of me to give to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, the business aspect, business is always going to be business. You know, mm-hmm. putting in the work and realizing how focused I need to be with my time on the things in business that really matter to me and make sure I do the best job in executing 100% as opposed to, you know, maybe just 90% or 95%, or not commit to things that are going to take away from me giving my 100%.
I know that On Impact was put in you upon impact,
mm-hmm.
but is this kind of reprioritizing your business, why and how you created Diverse Media? Is that part of that or no?
Yeah, it's part of the journey.
So tell me why it's different.
Well, at that point, before the accident, I was a corporate citizen. I was corporate all day.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I saw myself. Even with the entrepreneurial aspect, having the safety net of showing up every day, getting at every two, and grinding on the side, as people would say, is not maximizing.
Hustling. Yes.
I don't like that connotation though. No. I don't think because people have passion, they have vision, you know, they see themselves more and they're willing to give their time to develop businesses isn't hustling. Where we come from, or where I come from, you know, hustling was never positive.
That's true.
It's not a positive term. Right. So
it was more of a con, actually.
All day.
If you were getting hustled, you were getting con.
I work hard.
Yeah. Right? Yes,
and I multitask.
Yes.
And, you know, ideally, I don't want to waste my time. So if I choose to use my time wisely to benefit myself, we need to coin a phrase. We'll probably get to it by the end.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But, you know, that commitment is what's really, I was committed.
I like grinding on the side.
Grinding's good.
Yeah.
We can say we're grinding.
I mean, in the music industry,
grinding is... We can say we're grind. Grind is good. Thumbs up.
Yes.
Proof.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, I was a grinder.
Yes. I'm just curious, because I love the story, and I didn't ask you to tell us about this, but of you showing up from your sales background and limo driving background into the world of music in, like, your wingtips and your suit... dressed like you were going into the corporate life like we see on TV, right? But that is not the music industry. Like, that's not how people dress there. That's not how people show up to work. And you were a young cat, right?
Right, yes.
Yeah. How do you see Diverse Media as being different from showing up as someone, what did you call yourself, a corporate?
Citizen.
Citizen, thank you. How is it different there?
When I started in the music business, what you're referring to is...
Yeah.
And I fell into the music business. I was a stand-up comic.
Right.
So during college, I had four jobs. Comedy was one of them. And how I actually, the opportunity presented itself for me, the woman at Motown Records booked me for a show. And at the end of the show, asked me what my next step, my plans were. And I hadn't even prepared my resume. So I had none, to be quite honest with you. So she asked me if I wanted to be an intern, and where I'm from, no one ever talked about internships, so I had no idea what it was. But I was like, yeah, I want to be an intern.
Yeah. Whatever that is.
Let's just get in.
I'm going to do that.
I can do that. Like, as an intern, yeah, I can do that. Needless to say, prior to going into a music company, I was a salesperson. So, you know, it's all about presentation, suits, wingtips, attaché case. You got to look the part, to be the part, to talk the part,
right?
To get the results.
Yeah.
So I showed up that way for the interview, and realizing music companies aren't stiff like that.
No,
so
they're not.
They're like, are you the FBI? Like, you know, who are you? Right? Like, who's this guy? We know, we've seen people like you before.
Right.
And what I realized then is probably what tech companies are now, right? Mm-hmm. The vibe, the energy, the flow of record companies at that time was very
really
open and free thinking and similar minded as tech companies are today. So I use at my company same kind of thinking. You know, we're open minded, a lot of young opportunities for people. I think, you know, the youth is the future, as well as having seasoned professional wise folks involved.
Thank you for that.
Also, of course, like, you know, part of growth is understanding history. I mean, like, you don't, if not, you're going to create mistakes that have already been solved.
Right. So, and that happens a lot.
It, of course, because, and it's generational, but, you know, everyone thinks they're the first to do things.
Right.
And you can't tell them anything.
Mm-mm.
So it's important to have an environment where people are able to share information, talk, and we can all grow together.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love it. Thank you for painting that picture of it for us. How was it writing your book? How was it authoring a book?
Should I be honest or just give the answer?
No,
I was joking.
Oh. No, because it's hard.
No, it's the worst.
It's the worst.
Meaning the process is the worst.
Yeah.
Finally getting, you know, let me say this. So I did stand up. So I understand the creative aspect of putting together presentation, presenting your art.
Yeah.
And anything in that space, in a creative space, you work at it and you become vulnerable.
Yeah.
The process, I realized after getting involved, it's really an involved process.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it wasn't so much the literal aspect of writing the book, it's being vulnerable. I grew up in a house, and as a Black man, you know, we're not emotional, we're not sharing. And that's the way you showed your strength. Mm-hmm. And you're quiet about things that pretty much can expose you.
Right.
So I had to overcome that aspect of being vulnerable and telling the world things about me that people may not know, probably don't know, except for the other person who knows that information about me.
The person like you share that experience
with. Mm-hmm. But now for it to be something that's going to live forever. So I think that was by far the most challenging aspect of it. And realizing, you know, you get into the perfection mode, which there's no such thing. Mm-hmm. But the value for me was realizing that the story and my life's reflection of what I want people to know and share and leave behind, getting that right. So it was a great experience from that aspect, but it's difficult.
It's difficult. How long did it take to write?
2.5 years.
Ooh, yeah.
I was working. I mean, I had a lot going on.
So what was your process? You would like write on the weekends or write it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is not something that people can just do.
No.
And well, that's not true. Anybody could do it, but to have something of value to offer as a result,
if you want to be positive and affirmative, everybody can do anything they want, right? If you want to do it great, it's a process in doing that.
Yeah.
And there's a commitment both from a giving standpoint of yourself as well as an economic piece that has to come. I edited the book 4 times.
Yeah,
I think I have 22 different versions of the book.
Oh my God. Do you have them like stacked? Or
yeah,
on
we
Google?
Have it.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Like 22 different versions because it's important, you know?
Yeah,
it's really, really important that everything feels right. Whether we sell one copy or we go on to be a bestseller, I still want the story to resonate in the form that's most impactful to the audience.
I heard this strategy from an author who said that whenever they got asked to speak after their book came out, they asked them not to pay them, but to buy books. Because if they sell those volumes of books, and then they could distribute them to libraries or wherever they wanted to. And that way, if you sell a certain number of books, I forgot how many, you get up on the bestseller list. Mm-hmm. So that was I thought that was really cool. Instead of getting paid, you could get them to buy your books when it comes out and end up.
No, they're going to pay me.
Okay.
Okay. They're going to pay me and buy my book. Like, we know.
We're going to do both.
Listen, everybody, do your thing that works best for you. You're going to pay me.
All right. You're going to get paid. I love it. Okay. So I wanted to read an advance copy. I could not, but it is available for pre-order, right?
Correct. In January. But you can go to my website.
Which is now while you're listening to this.
Correct.
It is January. So it is available for pre-order now, but it'll be out in September of 2022.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, yes.
Very exciting.
Yes.
On impact. Yeah. Your Instagram is pristine. I've never seen an Instagram like yours.
Are you serious?
It's so beautiful. Everything is like black, white, and gold, right? It's like a piece of art.
It's particular. I'm very particular.
It is. But you do call for music. Tell me about what you're looking for and what you like for people to bring you musically.
In this space that I'm in as an independent, I can only have the capacity to do but so much. So I'm very particular, as you said, coming to my site about talent. I've been a part of some of the greatest artists in the world, have promoted some of the greatest artists in the world, and I feel that what's next and best for me will show up at my door.
Okay.
So I want to make sure that my door is open is why.
I love that you put that out there.
Yeah, put that out there. But I do have a young artist that I signed from Jackson, Mississippi. She will be the next greatest superstar on this planet. Her name is Paris Gatlin.
Okay.
And you can find her at We Want Paris. She's an amazing, amazing talent. Blend between maybe like Amy Winehouse and Meghan Trainor.
Really?
And her chops and style. Yeah, so she's—
That's a great combination.
I'm super excited about her.
Yeah.
I've been working on her for the last year or so, and now we're ready to hit the marketplace, so.
Nice.
Let's go.
So you're looking just for music that hits you, that
yes.
you want to work with. So
yes.
you'll take a listen to a
Absolutely.
Variety of things?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So,
and what we also provide,
yeah.
and what we also provide at my company is services. So although we may not be able to sign you directly to us, we can offer you a roadmap on how you can get yourself exposed in the marketplace.
Okay, that's what's up. I like that too. Mm-hmm. To find Benny Pugh, you're going to go to Benny, B-E-N-N-Y, P-O-U-G-H, on Instagram, right? That's what that's your name.
All my handles are at Benny Pugh.
Okay.
On all social media, and my website is Benny BENNY POUGH.com.
That's right. I've been on that too. It's also pristine. It really is. It's very pleasing to the eye.
Thank you.
Anything that you want to talk about that we didn't cover?
Man, so
I mean, I know there's so much.
Yeah,
but.
and parting words, I guess, is how they say it. Well, I'm very thankful for the opportunity to be able to speak to your audience. It's important. I've been doing podcasts now for the last year, maybe up to 60 podcasts and conversations. And I must say, like, this is first rate for all you people who can't be here.
Oh,
right?
Thank you.
This is an amazing, amazing setup, as well as it's warm. Mm. And you'll get the best out of people just because of, you know, the environment that you set. And this is tremendous. Mm. I think it's important for folks to live your life, follow your passion, and don't be afraid, because fear is definitely something that will keep you from living the best life that you can. So just be strong, be faithful, and enjoy.
And from a man who is walking the walk, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you. That was beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you, Benny.
All right.
Thank you so much for listening. The Only One in the Room is produced by the creative genius that is Scott Slaughter and edited by the uber-talented polymath Christina Barcy and her team at Avon House Productions. Hey, you're still listening? Good. Please subscribe right now while you're thinking about it, quick, before you forget. And be sure to like and leave us a review of the show. Want to connect with some other Only One listeners? Be sure to join our private Only One in the Room Facebook group, or check out Patreon on our website for exclusive content that you won't find anywhere else. And do you have an Only One in the Room story that you'd like to share? Please send it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.